Hey there, it's Dina, obviously. Haven't posted an episode in a few days. I've actually tried a couple times to record one, and the first one was just going into detail about some of the things I'm working on in therapy, and it was just kind of hard to follow and convoluted. So even for me when I re-listened to it, so I decided not to post that one, and then I recorded part of another one last night, and I re-listened to that one, and I was just like saying like every 2 seconds and wasn't getting my ideas across clearly, so I didn't include that one either. So we will see what happens with this episode. There I go again. So one thing I wanted to mention is the kind of ambivalence I feel about doing this podcast and the way that, on the one hand, I kind of seek the connection that the podcast brings. And I think for me, it's a way of connecting with other people, putting something out there that might resonate with other people, just kind of connection basically, and also as a way for me to journal out loud basically and try to understand myself better. But I also feel in other ways like very exposed putting myself out there and just kind of like, is this like, what's the point? Kind of. So I'm ambivalent about it, and one of the things I'm working on in therapy is sitting with my ambivalence and just letting things kind of play themselves out and work themselves out. So normally, if I'm ambivalent about something, I'll try to like, I need to like make a decision about this right now, and I'll be like, I'm not gonna do this. And then, oh no, I should have done it. I am gonna do it. And then I'm not gonna do it. So I'll like go back and forth instead of just giving things some time to just play out and releasing my grip on the wheel a little bit, which is one of the major things that I'm working on in therapy, is letting go of control so I can live more in the way that I want to be living my life, which is open to new experiences and to connection and flow and adventure. And not that I'm in opposition to those things now, but I think there are some ways in which my need to control things and my fear of being out of control might be limiting my life experience in ways that I don't fully understand. And this was kind of called into question. This was kind of called into question for me yesterday. I just found out about another friend who had gotten engaged. Obviously, a lot of my friends are married, have kids, and I don't know if I want kids, but I definitely want a life partner. I want a career. So it just kind of made me think, what am I really doing with this self-development stuff, both with therapy and with this reclamation program? Am I just doing these things because I just don't have anything else going on and don't have anything else to do? And so I'm just kind of like spinning my wheels and kind of doing this navel gazing thing that isn't really going to lead anywhere. And I had to kind of grapple with that for a minute and just look at like the path that my friends are on, which I feel like they're living like these quote unquote like real adult lives. With jobs and partners and kids, and I'm kind of stuck, really not leading a very adult life since I'm just living at home and my mom makes dinner and I don't have a partner, I don't have a lot of responsibilities, I don't have my career right now. And yeah, just kind of feeling like silly having this podcast or like even doing some of the other self-development work when other people are kind of leading these kind of more real lives. So I kind of had a gut check moment there. And I think it was good to kind of ground me because I was like feeling so excited about all this therapy stuff. And I wasn't really looking at the shadow side or the dark side. Not the dark side, but I was only really letting myself feel the happiness from it, and I wasn't confronting my own ambivalence there too. And so I think that was a good check, and I went back and forth kind of, and then really decided that I was, oh wait, hold on one sec. No, I'm back, sorry. I really decided that it is meaningful, like the work that I'm doing in therapy and reclamation. And it's not, I guess what I was thinking was, I'm pretending like my problems are things that I can work on in therapy or work on in reclamation, because it's easier for me than acknowledging that my problems actually all stem from my illness. And basically, like, I don't have problems, really. I don't have problems where I need therapy or I need personal growth. I just have the problem that I'm sick. And the reason that that was hard to accept is because then it's like I can't do anything to change it. And so that's what I was kind of thinking about. But after thinking through it, I hope at least that some of my problems and ways that are like not really problems, but just like there are ways in which I could be happier in life that don't just involve getting better from my illness. And there are things holding me back that are not just my illness. And that is like a really good, exciting thing, because that means that even if I'm not getting better right now, I can still lead a happier, more joyful, more fulfilled, more open life, even as I'm sick. So I think that's the conclusion I've kind of come to for now. Yeah, I don't know. It's still in flux. And again, it's a lot of what I've been working on in therapy is just being comfortable with things being ambivalent and, with being ambivalent and things being ambiguous and not needing to know right away if something is the right path or the right thing, and just kind of riding the wave and experiencing the journey and trusting that things will work themselves out, and you will know if the relationship that you're in is really going somewhere or not. Or let's say if I want to be doing this podcast or not, and that these things will kind of, I will find the answers to them when I need to find the answers to them, and I can trust myself to do that, and I don't have to prematurely try to guess the future and guess, oh no, this is going to turn out well, this is going to turn out badly. And because you don't know, really, and just like giving space for things to just develop how they're going to develop. So anyways, that's my perspective on that. The other thing I wanted to talk about, I'll take a brief break. Actually, you guys will not experience a break because, I will restart the recording shortly. Okay, talk to you soon. Okay, so this month in this reclamation program, we're talking about figuring out what feels authentic to us and just the general topic of authenticity. Authenticity being who you are and knowing yourself, and also how you kind of present that self to other people and whether you're able to be your authentic self with others and how you kind of achieve that. So both knowing yourself and how you present yourself. And so there's like all these exercises that we're doing around that. And I thought I would read some of my responses. I'm just laughing because I'm like, wow, who really is going to be interested in this? But that's okay. I'm just sharing, not expecting necessarily that there will be too many listeners who are excited to hear this, but maybe there will be someone who connects with it. And again, like, I like the idea of a back and forth. If you're a friend of mine listening, would love to hear your own thoughts about what being authentic means to you, or what has kind of come up on your end listening to my experiences. But also, and I, unfortunately, I'm not sure if you are not, if you don't know me in real life and you're listening, welcome. I'm not sure exactly how you can communicate with me. I think there might be a way on the Anchor app. But yeah, I will maybe look into that. Anyways, so here are some answers I had to some of the questions about authenticity. Things that are me. I'm super smart. It's like always what I feel like is my defining, like that's how I define myself in my head. That's my, feels like a defining trait for me. I don't know if that's, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm earthy, sensual, and hedonistic. I'm practical, down to earth, and pragmatic, but also sometimes very theoretical in my thinking. I'm not very creative or whimsical or feminine. I'm adventurous and fun-loving and drawn to new experiences and new people. I can be rigid and obsessed with following whatever I think the rules are or being good. I'm fearful of losing control. I'm stubborn and determined. I love connecting with others, and at other times I often feel disconnected or different than others. I'm scared many people are fundamentally bad and will hurt and disappoint me, and so I don't fully trust people in some ways, even as I'm naive and overly trusting in other ways. I'm deeply skeptical and look at the world askance, and I'm a huge romantic and somebody who gets super taken in by cheesy commercials, cheesy sayings, etc. I'm still the teenage girl who loves sleepovers and being teased by cute boys, and I have a deeply masculine side that is all no-nonsense and logic-based and rational. I'm very wise in some ways and deeply naive in others. I'm socially gifted and magnetic and confident with some people and awkward and uncool with others. I'm silly and childlike sometimes. Sometimes I'm put together and incredibly focused and productive and tough. And sometimes I'm scattered all over the place, an anxious mess. I can be loving and caring and also incredibly selfish and self-absorbed. So yeah, those are just some of the things I wrote when I was just trying to like brainstorm who I was. I don't know. Just some thoughts that I had on that. Let's see what other things did I write here. I'm skeptical, wise, and funny. I look at the world askance. I crave connection and love. This is more like ways I want to be. I don't remove myself from the world or turn away from connection. I'm an adult that holds firm to my own needs, values, and ways of being, even around others, but I'm also flexible and work to make others feel loved, comfortable, and understood. I'm fun-loving, adventurous, and crave newness. I'm also careful and responsible, but I don't let my fears and need to control everything make me lead a smaller life. I trust my intuition. I remember that I can't predict or control the future. I make wise and skillful choices for myself. I acknowledge ambivalence and ambiguity, as I was saying. I embrace my childlike side, my hardworking, focused, achievement-oriented side, my sentimental, sappy side, my romantic side, and my extroverted and introverted sides. I embrace my need for intellectual stimulation, my love of self-analysis and reflection. I put my needs first, but I also do things to help others. I seek joy and flow, a rich, full life with connection, deep feeling, and new experiences. So that was another prompt. Obviously, you can see some overlap between the two, but yeah, that was more like how I want to be. And I also wrote myself, again, this is going into so much detail about me, and this is where I'm just like, and a friend of mine was asking me, like, what is your goal in doing this podcast? And is it more of just like a journal for myself that I happen to post to the world, or like, am I looking for a broader audience? Is it more about my illness experiences with ME/CFS? Is it just this journey of self-exploration? Who really is going to want to know what I talk to my therapist about? Which are all very valid questions. And I'm working through that. So again, we'll kind of see as we go. And if you do have anything in particular that you're interested in hearing me talk about, I know, you know, some of the topics that I was suggesting other people talk about that I can talk about as well, about myself. When I say suggesting other people, I mean, there were some people I was inviting to be on the podcast and I gave some examples of types of topics we could talk about. So some of them were like growing up experiences. I think for me, what was it like to come from a Russian Jewish family and adapt to kind of American ways of being? What kind of formative experiences did I have? You know, what have I learned about myself over time and what my values are? Yeah, so those are all things I could talk about, which maybe are a little bit more broadly interesting as opposed to just like here are like the 10 million things I wrote about what authenticity means to me. Again, I'm just kind of figuring this out as I go, and you can obviously tell as I'm speaking that I feel very unsure about this project and what its purpose is, but I'm just going to keep going for now. So another piece here that I wrote, which is mostly like reminders to myself about like parts that I have in myself and things I want to cultivate in myself, which is just like a third version of basically the same exercise. So first, remembering the feelings I had when I was mountain biking in seventh grade and when I was rollerblading as a kid, which is basically this flow, this enjoyment, being in the moment and just embracing the experience and not being afraid to fall down and the freedom of that, that you might fall down, but while you're doing it, you're not thinking about falling down. You're just experiencing. And that's how I want to live my life without that fear and still kind of making safe and healthy choices, obviously, and trying to find that balance. Like you can't, I don't think, be totally fearless, but just adding in some of that fearlessness. And there's a country song and I'm going to totally misquote it. But it has some, there's like a line that's something like, you ride never waiting for the fall. I guess that's the cowboy in us all. Okay, nobody make fun of me because I'm sure I butchered like the exact precise phrasing. But I don't know, that expression has really resonated with me because those are, I think, some of the moments when you're just in the moment and you're just fearless, that are so awesome, and I want to cultivate that in my life. So that's one. Another song or that I think of that really resonates with me, or that I really resonate with, that really resonates with me. Sorry, somebody was also suggesting that I, now I'm just like, whatever. Someone was suggesting that I was saying that wrong. Okay. The other song that really resonates with me is that song from Beauty and the Beast where, and I have a horrible singing voice, but basically she's like, it's before a lot of things have happened and she's just standing in the field and she's like, I want adventure in the great white somewhere. I want it more than I can say. And I've always wanted that. I want adventure. And I don't think I've really honored that want a lot in my life because I also want success and I want perfection and I want, you know, to use my brain and those things have kind of taken first priority and I'm fearful. And I don't know that I can necessarily, I'm talking about adventure both in like the obvious sense of like going and like seeing new beautiful places and like having new experiences, but also just treating life kind of as an adventure and as a fun kind of roller coaster ride and, You don't know exactly what's going to happen. And that's part of the fun. That's part of the excitement of it. And obviously, like, really bad things can happen. But you can't prevent those by stressing about it or controlling it or trying to control it. Again, it's a balance. You still have to make kind of healthy choices. And one thing that kind of was for me like a good way of thinking about that is like when I play cards, or when I've been like recently doing like more active stock trading, which for me are both like fun activities, you always are trying to like make the right decision. Like, you're always trying to win the card game. You're always trying to make money in the stock. But for me, at least, none of that comes with anxiety. I just do the best I can. I recognize that it might not turn out the way I had planned. I, you know, make sure I have enough other funds in other accounts so that I'm not betting like my entire livelihood on some stock. And I just trust myself that if things get bad, I will adjust. And you just kind of, and just living in that kind of just way where you trust yourself, is I think what I do when I play cards or when I trade stocks, and it's very different than the way that I live my life. And I think those are kind of almost like guiding stars, like live your life the way you play cards or trade stocks. So yeah, life is a fun adventure. You don't know what will happen. You can't know. Embrace that freedom and have fun with it. Let go of the fear that doesn't serve you. It's like a roller coaster. So that's my second reminder. Third reminder, curiosity and compassion towards myself and others, noticing rather than judging. Something I'm working on. Not taking things so seriously. Number five, this is just a part of me, which is my, I don't know, some of you guys might know, some of you guys might not. I have a alter ego, which is like a 2 to 3 year old kind of childlike character. It's named the Zavrik. It doesn't have a gender. It's like a kind of dinosaur slash human creature. It's just a way of being in a mode I have that I really enjoy. It's super weird. But yeah, that's just like a note about a part of myself. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, 6, success. I want success. I crave success. That's just a fact. 7. These aren't actually numbered, so I'm like trying to remember what the number is as I'm going through them. So it's just like a little more organized when I'm talking about it. 7. Boys and romance. I love romantic stuff. Not romantic stuff. That's like such a weird way to put it. I really want a life partner, and I'm really into boys. I was like boy crazy starting in preschool. So yeah, that's just like an aspect of my life that is important to me, is that. Number 8, concretely help people without losing sight of your needs. Thinking a little less about yourself can be grounding, but put the mask on yourself first. 9, present as my magnetic, compassionate, fun, best self. Bring my own vibe to interactions and don't just mimic others' energy. So this is something that is part of like this authenticity exercise, is basically putting forth your own energy and your own vibe when you interact with people and not just adopting kind of their vibe. And I had a friend in high school who was, I think I mentioned this on one of the podcasts that I didn't post. Hopefully I didn't mention it in one of the podcasts that I did, one of the episodes that I did post. But I had this friend in high school who was amazing at this. And this friend would basically go to like the video rental store, and the way they would talk to the clerk would just add in, like the person working at the video store would just add this like whole vibe that was so unusual and cool. And I just, that was just so awesome and so unique about this person, that they just had this way of being that they brought to all of their interactions. And I really admire that. And I have my own way of being that I can bring to interactions and that I sometimes don't bring. And so I want to be a little bit more conscious about bringing that. So, okay, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, 10, grow and evolve. This is like all the self-development stuff that I'm realizing I really like. I really like analyzing myself and figuring that out. Next, 11. This, we're about halfway through. So, okay, 11. Practice fluidity instead of rigidity. That is another huge thing I'm working on in therapy. I can be a little bit OCD about a lot of things, just like very black and white, either write an A paper or an F paper. I just am not good at like finding a middle ground. And just not being so rigid, and being more like go with the flow. So that's something. Next, connect to my emotions, let myself feel things deeply. I feel very disconnected from my emotions. I don't really often feel like sad or, I don't know. I just don't think I feel things very deeply, and I'm trying to connect more because I think there have been times in my life where I've felt emotions much more deeply, and I think that's a more enriching and vibrant life experience. Like even when it's been sad emotions, like I remember when I broke up with like who I thought was the love of my life. No, I didn't think he was the love of my life, but I was like insanely in love with him. In 6th and 7th grade, I dated this guy. That was like happiest time ever. And when we broke up, in the middle of 7th grade, I just cried for like months, and it was so painful, but I grew so much from that. And I don't know that I've let myself experience that kind of emotional pain, since that time, or I'm sure I have like since that time, but just like sitting with this sadness in a way, I think, I don't know. I just want to connect with my feelings more. Okay, next. Openness to new experiences, feelings, and ways of being. New vistas. Open to the universe. Magic. Open to magic. Not like real magic, but just the feeling of magicness. Magic. Okay, there's no magicness. There's just magic. And I have examples of how I felt in summer camp, when I took a trip to the Alps. With a youth group type thing in when I was 15. So that was all one thing. So I don't know what number we're on. Damn it. I'm going to have to count from the beginning again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay. That's 13. 14. Trust yourself. Enjoy the process. It is about the journey. You don't have to have urgency to make a decision or rush to finish. Let things play out. Okay, next, 15, I think. This is like one of the big ones. Connection. Keep reminding myself the value this has for me. It's one of just the biggest things that I care about is connection with other people, and I often don't remember that, and so I'll turn away from it in favor of like some other goals, which are not actually as important to me. I just want to keep reminding myself how important connection is. And side note, as we know, it's a biological human need to connect with other people. And it's the biggest predictor, I think, of how long you live is how connected you are to other people, or one of the biggest predictors, more than diet, exercise, smoking, etc. So something to keep in mind. That's 15. 16. I love myself and I like myself. I comfort myself and take care of myself. This is true. This is like one of my skills and strengths. I feel deeply, I really like myself. I feel like when I'm spending time in my head, I'm interesting to myself. I'm funny to myself. I'm someone who I respect and I value. So yeah, that's, I'm going to say that's 17. And that's gotten me through a lot of difficult times, that I have myself as like a refuge that I can come to when things are tough, and just like, you know, find a way, find the humor in it, get some perspective, listen to my own wisdom. And yeah, so that's just like another piece of me. Other pieces, let's say 17, just going to say 17, intellectual conversations, other deep convos, talking about politics or culture, or philosophy, just like that kind of meaty stuff I like. That's a part of me. 18, pure brain horsepower, relish it. Yeah, that's all I have on that one. 19, wisdom, balance, judgment, and reason. And this expression I always like to use here is know when to hold them and when to fold them. Skillfulness, being a grown-up. Yeah, another part of who I am, and also an important thing that I want to continue to do. Two more. Let's say number 20, skepticism, wry humor, and looking at the world askance. This is just a way that I am, and the way that I look at the world, I guess. And I find it very, it's just like really authentic to me and just works for me, I guess. So that's that. And then the last one that I have is I am loved. What I'm trying to say there is I feel that one of the gifts that I've had, because I've had such a, amazing experience with my family, is that I have deep inside me the feeling that I am loved. And my parents showered me with love. My grandparents showered me with love. I feel that really deeply. And I think it also is something that gives me a lot of strength. Yeah. So those are just some of my little bits of myself, and reminders to myself. Obviously, it's not a comprehensive list. So that is a lot of Dina introspection. I applaud those of you who are still listening. Let's see, though. I might have some more for you all. Feel free to take a break and come back, or don't come back. you guys can tell, obviously, again, I'm just repeating myself, that I'm ambivalent about this whole sharing process. Partially just because I think, like, nobody really needs to hear this stuff. Just looking through my notes, from reclamation and from therapy, and seeing if there's more on this subject that I can share. I think that's it for right now. I may or may not add to this recording before putting it out there. In any event, I will talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye. Hello, again. So I think the last thing, I'm going to wrap up this episode. I think just the last thing that I'll add, as I'm just going through like all these authenticity prompts that we've been getting in reclamation, and basically just like all the stuff that I read out to you guys earlier, or earlier in the episode. And one more is just, and this feels like really personal. So I'm definitely, shy about sharing, but I think I will share. And it's not anything, I don't know why actually it feels more personal than like the other stuff I've been sharing, but this is just like, what kind of sensory things are your favorite things? Like in terms of like taste, smell, sight, hearing. And yeah, so I just wanted to share some of my answers to those questions. So feeling comfortable clothes, hot showers, sweat after a good run, warmth from being in the sun, coolness from a brisk walk or coolness on your face when you're skiing, hugs, obviously. Oh, I don't know why that's obvious. Taste. So I didn't list a food. I'm like really into food right now. So pretty much all food, but I didn't really choose a food, but the taste, and even though like, so I don't drink that much now, and it actually like makes me feel bad for from a ME/CFS perspective. I just have like a bad reaction to alcohol. But still, when I have like the first sip of like a beer or a margarita, I just feel like I'm back in like my partying days, and I'm just like in some kind of like a, I don't know, it just brings me back in a way that's really nice. Smell, okay. You know how like, but this is like an embarrassing slash funny thing to share, but you know how men, like some men just like wear like way too much cologne and or like body spray, whatever. I just like love the smell of like men's cologne, like pretty much all men's cologne or like deodorant or anything. sorry, not sorry. Sunscreen. Okay, smell. Another smell. The smell of sunscreen because it reminds me of summer and the beach and summer camp. Sight. I mean, all like these beautiful like nature things pretty much anything lit up by bright sunlight including snow bright colors the ocean my bedroom I mean these are pretty generic stuff a few cute stuffed animals I realized when I was doing this exercise and again if I had like if I was on YouTube which again sometimes I'm like maybe this should be YouTube because I feel like I can connect more when I'm not, it's not just my voice, it's my face also. And I could show you guys some of my, like, I mean, I don't like, not like sleeping with stuffed animals over here, okay? I'm like totally an adult. No, I'm not, but I like dug a few out of a box. I recently found like one that my parents got me and then like one that Ben had. I always, they're really cute and they make me happy. So I like put them in my room. hearing the ocean, the ambience of a fun bar or restaurant, classical music that I used to listen to while I was studying, in particular, some like specific pieces that I just, I'm not like a, I know nothing about classical music, but just like some pieces that I've just like heard so many times while studying because I used to have like this one CD that I would study with. I like. And yeah, fun going out music, like pop music that you can dance to. So I think that kind of, yeah, just gives like a little bit of another perspective on like who I am. Is just like some of that mix of stuff from like the stuff that, from like the nature to the studying music to the going out type stuff. Like the things that remind me of going out, which I think was like a really fun period in my life when I was going out a lot. That ended too soon. That's a story for another day. Yeah, maybe that, you know, I'll think a little bit about like other topics. Like I was saying, I think the topic of like growing up and like things that happened growing up and childhood stuff could be interesting. I think my experiences in college and law school, I could talk about my experiences kind of coming to terms with my illness. So I could just ramble on and on for hours. So yeah, let me know what you guys want to hear about and we will go from there. And yeah, hopefully some guests soon. Okay, bye.